If you don't learn something today, I'll give all the offering back, if there is any. Maybe I'll have to pay you. All right. By the time you get out of here, don't leave. Don't leave, because the best is yet to come. Boy, that's true for us, isn't it? I have a dear lady in my church. She gave me, for my birthday, she gave me some handkerchiefs. And it's a real testimony from this precious lady. Her name is Juanita. I'll tell you more about her. Each time I think about her, I weep a little bit. I'll tell you more about her later. Just remind me. Tell us about the handkerchief lady, okay? All right. They told me you get off on funny trails. Yeah. So I'll try it. What is it?
Bunny trail.
Oh, bunny trail. I thought you said funny trails. I thought, he's not funny. See? Some people say, how can you still be friends with Brother Roberts after all these years? You know what the secret is? We only see each other every 15 years. So that's right?
Yeah.
We haven't had any FaceTime for 15 years.
Right?
Yeah. We, you know, little Christmas cards maybe. Tonda does that, right? Yeah. Okay. All right. Hebrews 5. We're going to talk about yesterday a little bit in the morning service. That was incredible. I'm just going to fall apart here. It's just so precious. You realize how precious this place is? This pastor is? This is so unusual. We need to go back to school. That's what we've been doing. People, I asked our people, what should you speak on? Thank you, Juanita, for the handkerchief. I'll tell you about her. She's our best soul winner, one of our best soul winners. I'll tell you about two soul winners in the morning service. Back to school. We're disciples, right? Disciples. What does that mean? This man could exegete the word mathetes, right? It means a learning one. We're to be learning. Not like what Paul said, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, but always learning and growing in grace and knowledge. Let me ask you a question. We were here a year ago. What did I preach on? One word, just one word.
Revival.
Thanks, revival. How's that getting along? You know what was a blessing to me? You know what brought me to tears yesterday? Is there was a spirit of revival in this place, and there still is a spirit of revival. That's a blessing. That's a testament to your pastor. And Paul talked to the Corinthians, I believe, and he said, are you forward a year ago, right? So we are to be, it's a command, right, in 2 Peter 3:18, right? Come on, say it with me, you know it. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know what, that's not a suggestion. That's an imperative command. To be growing. Now, that doesn't mean we come in here and go, let's try to grow. You know? You put those crops out there, right? See a farm tractor out there, right? Okay. If you do the right things, you're going to grow. It's going to grow, right? John 15, abiding in Him, right? But sometimes we just, you know, I don't know, how many years of school did you have that? I did seven or eight. What did you do? Eight. Yeah. He just has more degrees. He's hotter than I am. But you just took. So anyway, I just got tired of school, you know. Then I found out when I got out of school, we're in school all the time as Christians. You know, we're learning every day. And we have these trials. We don't say, why, God? Why did you do this to me? You know, the question is what, not why, but what. You can ask why initially, but don't dwell in the land of why, right? Yeah. A lot of people are dwelling in the land of why, and then that root of bitterness starts to take hold, and their life becomes sour, and every relationship in their life is rotten. If you're bitter towards anybody, some of you, if you have a job, your boss, I mean, working in this world right now, right? For Christians, man, it's like a daily beatdown, right? You know? And if you get bitter at your boss or your superior or whatever you want to call them, your manager, you're going to bring that home. You bring the bitterness home, carry that baggage home and take it out on. If you don't take it out on the wife and the kids, you take it out on the dog, right? Right? The poor dog or the cat. We need to be growing, beloved. I just want to challenge us this morning, if I could, to be growing. When do we need to go back to school? Let's take a look at it. Hebrews chapter 5, number 1, right there at the top. This is just a little introduction here, and hopefully we'll get through some of this. Of whom, let's read it together, verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. How many have been in church for more than 20 years? Okay. It's easy to get a little dull, huh? And you know what the old devil tells us? He says, I've heard this before. Right? Many truths, just remind yourself of this, many truths need to be repeated over and over. Because you know why? We're like those sheep. We go easily astray. So how do we maintain our fundamental roots and anchoring? How do we do that? We have to repeat truths over and over. Otherwise, we drift. We're prone to drifting and... Right? I'm prone to drifting. We have all these influences in our lives screaming at us. These little things, they, you don't own a phone. Your phone owns you. Come on, admit it. For a lot of people. You don't own this thing. It owns you. You don't need a computer anymore. It's all here, right? If you're not careful, you can't even talk to people anymore. Am I right? You're walking down the street and, I mean, everywhere you go, sometimes I think, you know, we appreciate the convenience of it, but it captures our attention for such extended periods of time that we forget about God. Be careful of that. I was out soul winning, took a couple of the girls, went soul winning, went to Subway, right? And here was a lady, a girl, okay, from U of A. We had U of A down there. We got, what do you have, UW up here, University of Arizona. And we're sitting there. And honestly, this girl is talking to this guy about a relationship she was having. And she said, well, I'm gonna ask Google how far I should go in my relationship. And totally dead serious. Google has become people's God. Okay, I'm bringing practical Christianity up to the second here. People are asking Google all of their questions, their life questions, not just, oh, well, what's the direction to Honeywell, you know? Okay, they're asking personal life questions and what they're, you know, whatever it said, well, whatever Google says, that's, you know, right? No, whatever God says, right? Okay. Okay, a Bible that is, if you own a Bible that's falling apart, it's owned by someone who isn't. Okay? Okay. Become dull of hearing. I ask you today, are you dull of hearing? Let me ask you a question. Do you yawn in church? Do you get bored in church? The worst thing that can be said about our church is they're boring. But when somebody says that, maybe they got something wrong in their heart. Nobody ever accused me of being boring. Stupid, loud. I want to apologize already. I don't know how to not be what I am. I'm an exhorter. I figured out, I've only been saved, 47 years? I figured out, I'm an exhorter. That's my gift. So I'm pretty happy in my own skin. I'm an exhorter. Okay. All right. Verse 12, everybody. So don't be dull of hearing. Thank God for these great truths. Timeless truths, right? Timeless truths. Yeah, I don't know if I like the term old-fashioned. It's all right. You know, it's okay. I like timeless. Timeless truths. Eternal truths, yeah. You know, old-fashioned. Yeah. Old-fashioned. You know. I'm old-fashioned, bless God. You know, I don't mind being old-fashioned. You know, I guess that's all right. We have old-fashioned day, right? No, it's timeless. And that doesn't really appeal to millennials and X, Y, Z. What's the generation now that's coming up? Emily, what's your generation? We both have an Elliot. Yeah, we both got I got an Elliot grandson. Jenny just had a grandson. They're out in Pasadena. Serving God. I know. That's number 6. You probably got what, 20? How many you got?
21.
21? Okay, so now you're an adult grandparent. Huh? Okay, that's good. All right. Grandkids are great. I'd have had them first if I could have, right? You know? Verse 12, let's say it together. For when the time we ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. Okay, number 2 there. We need to go back to school when we ought to be ministering and teaching, right? Isn't that what it says, verse 12? For when for the time ye ought to be teachers. Amen. In other words, he's saying, you should have graduated by now. You should have gotten to the point where you are an effective teacher. Passing on the torch of the faith to the next generation. That's what I love about this church. This man of God, he's passed on that torch of that truth. I'm so proud of your boys yesterday, man. Brought me to tears. Roberts. They effectively passed on their faith to the next generation. That's what success is. It's not your children. It's your grandchildren. See? You familiar with the first, second, third generation principle? First generation hot for God. Second generation lukewarm. And third generation rejects the faith. That's the standard digression of what goes on. Charles Spurgeon. Well, his son was lukewarm and his son rejected. Billy Sunday. His son had a wreck and was a drunk driver. D.L. Moody. His son, lukewarm. What you have done here is nothing short of miraculous. Now, don't get proud about it. Get on your face and thank God for it. Because that old devil knows how to get in and destroy things really good. How many are in this church that should have moved beyond just, well, I'm a soaking up sponge, and you should have moved on now to, hey, pastor, I'd like to teach a class. I'd like to just, you know what? I'd like to just be an assistant in a class. I'd like to be a substitute teacher. How about that? Just get a vision for your life. Just get to the next level. Don't just soak in, but get to that next level where you're ministering to others. You're mentoring others. That's what it's about. Well, we go back to school at Jesus' feet. Didn't he have a wonderful school with 12 pupils? One of them was a devil. He did pretty good, but the other 11. Right? So, get a vision of being a teacher, teaching somebody else. Everybody in your world, you got somebody that you can teach and be a blessing to and edify, right? Now, verse 13, everybody, let's read it together. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Amen. Everyone, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by use of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Boy, there's so much in there, isn't there? Okay. We need to go back to school when we don't study the Word of God. We don't realize, we don't really dig into the Word of God and get the meat out of God's Word. Okay. I will tell you this. I got something in the last few weeks I'm sharing with you now. Fresh. It's just a fresh loaf out of Lawton's oven, you know. I hope you like it. I will tell you this. When I open this book lately, I don't know if it goes along with Joel, you know, old men shall dream dreams or whatever going on here. But I'm seeing new, fresh truths out of God's Word that I have never seen before. And I've been through that thing hundreds of times. Just jumps off the page, leaps off here, and oh. And he just blesses my heart. And we have the opportunity, the privilege of then sharing that with others. You don't have to be a pastor to do, man alive. You know? Get something out of God's Word and share it with somebody else. Okay, and then lastly, when we need to grow, right? Okay. When we need to grow. First, 2 Peter 3:18. Now let's talk about the school. Getting back to the school of grace, right? Number one, the school of salvation. I'm not going to spend a long time on this. School of salvation. I ask you, are you saved? Do you know Christ is your Savior? I was in the office a moment ago. It's in there. Man's going to get baptized today, amen? It's balmy out, right?
It's warm.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. See, we got the same idea. We don't have water down there, but I keep the baptistry water cool. We don't have a heater in it.
Amen.
No heater. It's cold. You're going to get baptized? You're going to mean it? You know? I tell them, I give them a little grace. I say, we're going to make it this fast. You're going to do your testimony before you get in. When we get you in, I'm going to say, baptize you. And you're going, you know, come out. You know? And you know what? What a testimony to people. Because they know they mean it. School of salvation. How do you get into the entrance into that school? By the new birth. Are you sure about your salvation? Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And this came home to me personally within the last year. One of our deacons, precious man, Dave Jones, salt of the earth guy. He come with his dear wife. They live out in Picture Rocks. Which is like, they come in about 25, 30 miles. Faithful man. Lead our church in prayer. Good giver. Had heart disease, diabetes. You know, he was up in his 80s. And he knew the end was coming. Deacon, he called me up. He said, Pastor, think I could play the message, but you'd have to listen to 20 other messages, but I keep it on my phone. You know, you save that one. Because he said, Pastor Cliff, he said, things aren't looking good. Come on over. We need to talk. Okay. I got over there. He said, I'm heading out into eternity, Pastor. I want to make sure. And he humbled himself and told me he had an issue with the assurance of his salvation. And praise God. I mean, we really kind of dug down into the issues of it. Salvation, obviously, is a matter of position, right? Assurance is a matter of fellowship, relationship. And so he made sure about his salvation. The moment after he prayed, there was a radiance about him and a joy about him. He said, I'm ready to go. I just wanted to make sure, Pastor. Now, maybe you need to make sure. Maybe you're a church member. And a man, I've talked to a man, and he said, well, I made a profession of faith in one of your churches when I was a boy. I said, I didn't say, did you make a profession of faith? I said, are you saved? Amen. Are you sure? Tell me your testimony. Was there some conviction? Was there some turmoil in your soul before you trusted Christ in desperate need? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That's not some, hey, big daddy upstairs, how's it going? It's like you're out in Lake Michigan and there's only one little boat going by and you're screaming at them, throw out the lifeline. I need to be saved. And you're going to grab that lifeline because it's a desperate need. That's what it's about. Not this. I made a profession of faith. Jesus had something to say about them, didn't he? Call me Lord, Lord. Do not the things I say. I never knew you. A lot of people who profess Christ, he's going to say to them, I never knew you. Make sure about it. Now, we're not talking about work salvation here. Don't get that idea. Okay? We're talking about totally, completely trusting Christ with a repentant heart. Understanding that you have broken the heart of God. So, are you sure about your salvation? Just asking. I mean, this is a special, when you come in this place, you know, when you come in this property, you know this is a godly place. And when you meet this man, you know he's a godly pastor and a godly pastor's wife. And when you see these people, you know there's godly people, but there's always people who are a part of the flock that, well, am I right? Is he saved? Who was I? Who did I ask yesterday? Who did I ask yesterday about somebody? Are they saved? I asked him. He said, well, this person is saved. We're not so sure about the other one. I thought that's about right. I figured that out. You know what that says there? Look what it says. By reason of the last part of that verse, by reason of use have their senses exercised to what? Discern, you know, we were talking about spiritual gifts. Oh boy, the healing and signs and wonders. And, you know, the gift I pray for our people is the gift of discernment. Have a discerning spirit, a discerning heart. Where are these churches going today? Well, we're contemporary. We got one church has a sign up that says, 9 o'clock, the mild service. 10 o'clock, the wild service. The largest church in South Carolina. Don't ask me the name of it. Can't remember the name of it. Can't remember the name of the pastor. This is all documented. You know what they're doing now? We're doing a little bit of it here, but there's a central church. I don't know if it's Greenville. Bible-believing church. About 10 years ago, they said, well, we're going to switch from the King James Bible to whatever, RSV, ESV, NIV, HIV. I'm not sure which Bible. Okay? And we're gonna up-tempo our music, right? When Bible changes and music changes, it's over. Just downhill. So, that's the next one, by the way. School of the Bible. Amen? We're not part of the Bible of the Month Club. Amen? Study to show thyself approved unto God. It's inspired of God. It's preserved. If God inspired it, he also preserved it. Okay, now look. He knows and I know that there are all kinds of... I'm going to get back to that church in just a moment. But within our independent Baptist circles, there's all kinds of... I don't want to use rainbow. There's all kinds of views. Let's just agree that God has preserved his word and God's blessing has been on this King James Bible. And we're going to use it, and not only use it, but believe it. Okay, we're not Ruckmanites, right? We're smart enough not to. No, the English is not better than the Greek and the Hebrew and Aramaic. Okay. Ruckman, he knows the truth now, right? He knows he should have been married to his first wife instead of the third or fourth or whatever. So this church, let me tell you how, once you start on that slippery path and slope of, quote, contemporary, love what? Not the world. What do they do with that verse, Jonathan? Love not the world. Oh, but we're going to bring the world in so we can attract more people. I'd rather have five where the presence of God is and have 5,000. Where it's worldly and nothing more than an entertainment center. Tickling ears, scratching backs. So, within the last few months, came out their special music at this church in South Carolina that had a central location, and then they had numerous satellite locations around the city. Thousands of people. Highway to Hell was their special music. And the pastor had to resign, admitting that he was a drunkard. You see, you know, it's okay to have a glass of wine. No, it isn't. My Bible says in Leviticus 10:9, you shouldn't take any alcohol into the temple. Where's the temple today? If I drink one beer, I am disobedient to the command to be sober. Amen. Vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I'd like to recommend Jack Chick. He's got a couple of little animated films. Anybody seen those? One is called The Sissy, and the other one is Juanito or something. And it shows demons in the glass. That's pretty good, you know. I'll get you a copy of that. Discernment, beloved. School of the Bible. Be as the Bereans. Put that in there. Bereans. Joshua shows success. Only time the word juice in the Bible. Success. Oh boy, I got to move it along. Okay. So that's the school of the Bible. Number three, the school of prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. Not how to pray. Teach us to pray. Amen? We don't do it. We have a, well, we need to get prayer back in the public school. Well, now they're going to pray to the devil and Muhammad and, or, you know, whatever God they want. I'm just trying to get prayer back in the church. You know? So we discipline ourselves. So we clear everything on Friday night. Friday night. These are desperate hours, right? This is an emergency. Place is burning down. You know, we're not joking around with the firefighters when the building's, you know, hey, everybody, let's live it up like you were talking about. You know? No, we're trying to get the fire out. It's an emergency. Revival prayer. Friday nights. That's what we do at Temple Baptist. I encourage you, don't have fun and games. It's not time for fun and games. It's time for prayer. Crying out to God. Some tears need to be on the carpet. Do you have a prayer life? I ask you. Do you have a prayer? Excuse me, do you have a prayer love? Do you love prayer? Boy, I got it. I got it. One of my trustees got mad at me. You ever have that happen? I said, this church doesn't love prayer. Frankie, he's got his kingdom. He walked out, boy. I said, okay, what is it now? And of course, people don't talk anymore. They just text, right? Capital letters. I can't believe you said our church doesn't love prayer. I said, why aren't there more people here Wednesday night? Why aren't they here Friday night? Why don't people give testimony about their prayer? We don't love prayer. Not the way we should, right? You have a prayer love, a prayer life? That's our breath. Amen. Write this down. This you probably didn't figure out. Do you have a prayer list? Amen. Do you have a prayer list? That's important. Do you have a prayer list? And do you have a prayer longing? I love that verse you have in the bathroom. If my people, which are called by, say it together. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. You know what my supposition is? That we haven't even got to the first step of humbling ourselves. Just because you've got a nice building and God's blessing you, don't you get proud. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. Don't wait until all of the calamities of life. I have a message called the wake-up calls of life, right? How many have had some wake-up calls? Amen? Boy, I have. Let the wake-up call be something good. Wow, God bless that. Wow, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. How good you've been. I humble myself before you because of all the good things you've done. Is that what you do? Well, I must be pretty good. The Lord's blessing me. You know? A prayer longing. Let me give you a truth that God has given me in the last few months. Well, not the last year. You know how we're told to plan ahead and think ahead? This is bonus now. I'm overtime. Okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to see it down on the right side. Think ahead. Think ahead. Okay? We were looking for a building, and we were praying. We were having a prayer meeting, and we were looking for a building. And one of my deacon, Brother Ken, he's a veteran missionary over in the Philippines. And he said, he had this beautiful voice. Lord, and I have scoured the area. He said, Lord, we just want to thank you for the building you're going to give us. I said, there's nothing out there. What are you talking about? Are you crazy? You know? And he's sitting there, Lord, we just thank you. We want to thank you for the building you're going to give us. That week, I said, okay. That week, a building opened up for us, a beautiful building. God provide for us. I learned something. Philippians, and I finish with this. Learn this. This will, and I have got seen God meet need after need after need. You know, some of you, well, God doesn't answer my prayers. Well, that's because you're not doing it right. It's pretty simple. When you start doing this, verse 6 of Philippians 4, say it with me. Some of you can say it, you know, from memory. Everybody, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I'm not talking about health and wealth. I'm not talking about presumption and pride. I'm not talking about Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, those nutcases. I'm talking about thanking God for something you know is His will and a need you desperately need to have. Thank Him for it beforehand. Ahead of time. Isn't that what it says? With thanksgiving. You will see more prayers answered when you start thanking God for His answering it ahead of time. That's what made George Mueller such a great man of God. He got down there. All those hundreds of orphans were down there. They didn't have nothing. They didn't have anything to eat. He said, Lord, I want to thank you for the food. The people thought he was crazy. I want to thank you for the food you're going to provide. And there that cart fell over and everything came in. And those people, he thanked God ahead of time before he even knew how God was going to answer it. Over the last 2 months, God's answered like 6 or 7 big things for me when I just started thanking him for it ahead of time. You ever heard that before? I've never really heard that in that way. And so I just want to give that to you. Had a man call me. I'll finish with this. He was in education. He said, my daughter was sent home from school with oppositional defiant disorder. I said, what is that, ODD? That's what it is, he said. ODD. He said, I think my wife has it. That's exactly what he said. My wife has it. She thinks she's an apostle, he said. And it is the greatest thing. And oppositional defiant disorder. And I thought to myself, you know, there's a lot of Christians that have that, isn't it? Oppositional defiant. I'm not going to do what you say, Lord, no matter what you do. Take some big wake-up calls. I hope you've learned something. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Really wanted to get the School of Suffering University. Bless now, Father, the morning service in Jesus' name. Amen.